From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 84, Dear Pirates, JK, love Microsoft.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Before we get into things, we want to thank everyone who is going on to our Reddit page, which is reddit.com/r/deemable, or you can go through deemable.com/reddit. Either way, we'll take you there. You can vote for which stories you think we should talk about on the podcast, and you can submit stories of your own.
Yes, thank you to all 11 of you.
Yes.
We love you a lot. No, seriously, check that out. Deemable.com/Reddible.
Reddible.
Deemable.com/Reddible.
One of them. Reddit.com/r/Deemable.
We need to make that a redirect right now.
Reddible.
I'll be on it. And hey, I know we keep banging this drum, but if you are a regular listener, stop what you're doing right now and subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or both and leave us a really great review. I don't care what you say. You can put Laura Mifsum in there. I don't care. Just give us 5 stars. It really helps us out. We'd really appreciate it. But let's get right into the big stories in the tech world for this week. Here is this week's rundown.
All right, in an update to a story that we brought you back in March, Microsoft is clarifying their initial offer of free upgrades to Windows 10 to everyone currently running Windows 7 or 8.1, including those people who have pirated copies.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately after Windows chief Tyler Myerson was reported to have said even pirated copies of Windows would get the upgrade, Microsoft quickly began releasing vague clarifications about the upgrade still being free to pirates, maybe for a trial period before they would have to pay. Now Microsoft says there will be no free upgrade. Pirates will just have to pay. If you have a pirated copy of Windows to get Windows 10, you'll just have to pay. That's how it's going to be. The company did say they are planning some very attractive offers to those with cracked copies of their operating systems, but no real details have been released.
Okay, you know what a very attractive offer is? Free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No take-backs, Microsoft. No take-backs. Why would you do this? Why would they do this?
You know, I've been surprised at how Microsoft is willing to go back on something that they've said earlier. That we've seen that a couple times in recent history.
Mm.
Like with the Xbox One, they're like, oh, it has to be online. Just kidding. Okay, don't kill us.
Yeah.
And then this is kind of the reverse, you know, like, here's something for free. Oh, just kidding, guys. No, not actually. You can't have that for free.
Yeah. I guess it's important to remember they're a humongous company and they don't always necessarily speak with a unified voice.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
All right. Over at Activision Blizzard, which, of course, is the company that makes the uber popular, massively multiplayer game World of Warcraft.
They make Uber?
No.
Oh.
World of Warcraft.
Confused.
Which
okay,
is
World
bigger
of
than Uber.
How would you make Uber?
Let's move on.
Anyways, these guys fight an ongoing battle, as you might imagine, against cheaters.
Oh, yeah.
One of the major forms cheating takes in the game World of Warcraft is the use of bots, which are basically software tools that automate tedious tasks like leveling up, collecting gold, and improving your skills.
For real, yeah, of course.
So this week, Blizzard dropped the ban hammer. They banned what was reportedly over 100,000 players using such bots.
Ooh.
The bans were not permanent. Instead, they are lasting for 6 months. It is estimated these bans affect about 1.7% of World of Warcraft's user base.
Okay.
In a statement, Activision Blizzard said, "We've recently taken action against a large number of World of Warcraft accounts that were found to be using third-party programs that automate gameplay known as bots. We are committed to providing an equal and fair playing field for everyone in World of Warcraft, and will continue to take action against those found in violation of our terms of use. Cheating of any form will not be tolerated." Sean, Ray, either of you World of Warcraft players?
I played it for a little bit. I've never gotten into it really much. But actually, one way that I did get into it was collecting gold.
Hmm. Were you a farmer?
I did a while back. I just didn't have a computer with the processing power to really take advantage of it and make it profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Did I just admit to breaking? Yeah, just delete that part, Sean. Go back. No, but I actually enjoyed that. That was kind of fun. It was a challenge to build a bot that would do this.
I understand that playing the game is a fun challenge, too.
Well, yeah, I hear that, too. But
yeah.
I know that there are a lot of people who make a living doing this.
In China.
And in the States, too. So this is going to be interesting. That kind of sucks for those people. Fortunately, it's only 1.7%, which I don't know how much is their user base.
Oh gosh, it's millions. I don't have a number in front of me.
Yeah, that kind of stinks for them though. But I guess it's cool for players. I mean, yeah. It gives some people an unfair advantage. And I know that they have been fighting a long time against people using it, the economy mm-hmm. outside of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered why they don't just embrace the fact that their economy is part of the real world, like Second Life does, how they mm-hmm. have an active exchange with U.S. currency and other currencies. Why not do that with World of Warcraft? Why do they feel like it has to remain in-game? Mm. They've always been fighting that fight, and it doesn't seem like it's worth fighting.
Sean, you got any thoughts?
No, not really. I've never actually played World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I played the Warcraft series, like mm-hmm. the real-time strategy games. But, these massive multiplayer games, I've never gotten into.
Yeah.
Mainly because I don't want to hang around with other people.
I hear you. Loud and clear.
When I'm playing video games, I don't know.
Yeah.
You would think that they would embrace it or find a way to make it work within their own system. You know, we're not going to have all of this illegal stuff going on, but hey, if you go through our store or whatever, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. it's cool.
Yeah.
I think they're starting to make some movements in that direction. I haven't followed World of Warcraft news real closely, but I believe they're starting to have some systems where you can pay for some things. Yeah. They haven't gone to the extent that Second Life does, certainly. Yeah.
Well, I imagine that a lot of our listeners probably are interested in this story and would love to share a comment or let us know what you feel about this. So we normally mention this at the end, but I'm going to mention it right now. If you have a comment, give us a voicemail. Call us at 1-888-972-9868,
mm-hmm.
or you can just email us either text or a voice recording to feedback@deemable.com. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Or you can find Ray in World of Warcraft. His username is BigRed2001.
That's not true.
No, it'd be 1999.
Oh, anyway. 1999. Yeah. I'm sorry.
All right, so you remember those rumors that Apple was going to release an actual television set?
That's right.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I even predicted that we would have already seen it by now in one of our prediction shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember whatever I say in those prediction shows. I just let it all go immediately afterwards. Well, according to a report in the Wall Street Journal, Apple was working on a 4K television set about a year ago.
Mm.
And even many years ago in the early aughts, you know, the early 2000s, they were even considering a laser television set.
Wait, a laser television set?
What does that mean?
It had freaking lasers.
Okay, that's fine, but I don't know what that means.
Well, instead of plasma and pixels, it was actually lasers painting an image on the screen.
Your retinas out?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But it'd be amazing looking.
It'd be so cool for the 5 seconds where you could still see. But, for both projects, you know, as many research and development projects go, the Apple TV set has gone the way of the Microsoft Courier tablet and the Palm Folio. It is never going to be released.
That's sad, because those two products I don't know about at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You really don't know about the Courier tablet?
No.
It was amazing.
I know what it was from what you have told me, but I do not remember it whatsoever.
It basically predated the Microsoft Surface.
Yeah.
And it was a folding tablet. It had two screens, and it folded like a booklet. It was really cool. And you could use it like a notepad. You could turn it on its side and use one screen as a keyboard and the other side.
Kind of like a laptop.
Kind of like a laptop with two screens. Or a Nintendo DS.
Yeah, I was about to say Nintendo like DS.
The Palm Folio was a laptop structure that you plugged a Palm device into to use it as a laptop. So it had a screen and keyboard and a touchpad, but you used a Palm device to power it.
So you would take your phone and you would put it in there and...
Yep.
it would just run off your phone.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants a laptop, except it's got a crappy phone driver.
In the early 2000s, it was a pretty cool idea.
All right.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Everybody was excited about it. Well, apparently, Apple realized that there is no way to make a new TV that isn't better than all of the other TV sets that are already on the market.
Hmm.
Because just like printers, the best TV is a dumb TV.
Hmm.
Now, if we could only convince the other TV and printer manufacturers of that, the world would be a much better place.
It would be.
I want to see a combination TV printer. That's what I want.
A smart TV, smart printer.
Yes.
With Wi-Fi access and an app.
And a Google AirPrint. That's all I want.
Google AirPrint, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, and I'm kind of excited about this. You know, they apparently were trying FaceTime, like adding a FaceTime feature to it, working with the design and making it thinner or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and they just realized that nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't charge four times as much like they do with all their other products. It's just it's a low-margin market, and they just, you know, Apple doesn't play in that territory.
Yep, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, hey, Sean, what are you looking at over there?
Oh, it's just some funny website. You want to see it?
Sure, yeah.
Here, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
What the heck just happened? What was that?
Oh, very nice.
guys, what's going on?
Are you're wondering what that sound was, Tom?
I am a little.
Well, I will tell you what it is, actually.
Please do.
Google released this cool new experimental extension for their Chrome browser this week called Tone.
Okay.
It's Google Tone. That's that tiny R2-D2 type sound that you heard, yes.
Yeah.
This sound lets you share URLs with people nearby by using sound. You don't have to have anything else. It just sound. To use it, Tone must be installed on at least two computers that are in with earshot of each other.
Okay.
And each computer must have their volume turned up.
Okay. Sure.
So if you are listening to this right now, you, the listener of the podcast, go and download Google Tone and then rewind it a little bit and make sure your volume's turned up and listen to that sound I sent out.
Oh, yeah. I was going to put the link in the show notes, but I think I'm not going to. You're going to have to get the Google Chrome.
I'll play it for you again in a little bit just so you get it. But,
play it at the end.
Yeah.
After the credits. Yeah. Stick around after the credits and we'll play it again for you. So you can see what Sean just sent me.
Yeah, this extension works on all operating systems. If you have a Chrome browser, you can get it. You don't have to have a Windows or a Mac.
Yep.
What you do is, once you have it installed, you open the tab that you want to share. You click the small megaphone-shaped button that will now be on your Chrome toolbar, and your computer will play a series of beeps like mine did. Then, on all of the computers nearby, a Chrome notification will pop up with a link to whatever I sent you. If you have it open right now, you just got a link to the research blog, the Google research blog, where Alex Kaufman and Boris Smooz, I'm going to guess, that's how you say your name, Smooz? I don't know. They say that this extension was apparently developed in a single afternoon. Like the researchers at Google and the engineers there were like, hey, let's try this. They say on that blog that Tone grew out of the idea that while digital communication methods like email and chat have made it infinitely easier, cheaper, and faster to share things with people across the globe, they've actually made it more complicated to share things with the people standing right next to you.
That's true.
Tone aims to make sharing digital things with nearby people as easy as talking to them. I think this is actually a really cool idea. I've been having a lot of fun with Ray using it back and forth with him.
Yeah.
Just to be like, hey, here's this site I'm looking at right now. I don't have to pull up my Gmail account or Google Hangout. I can just hit that button. And it goes straight to them, yeah.
If it could share with a phone, that would be terrific. Like, if the phone could listen.
Yeah, I don't know if...
It's a pain to send URLs to your phone and back. I mean, there are apps and extensions to do that, but they're clunky extra things. This would be a much more lightweight.
There is a Chrome app, for iOS and Android.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if this extension
is
on. They don't have extensions on there, so... Maybe that will be something that will be added.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I love it a lot. Now, the only weird thing is you can't just send it to one person.
That's true.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone nearby.
It is broadcast, but you have to have this tone extension installed, which maybe a lot of people probably won't. It's, you know, we all think it's cool because we're following tech news, but, you know, to the average person out there, they're not going to probably know that this exists.
Yeah.
But it is in the Google store right now, the Chrome extensions store. We will include a link to that in the show notes. I tried to find it just by searching in the extensions and could not find it. So
I just found it by Googling Chrome tone.
Yeah.
You can find it
that way.
But cool.
Yeah, try it out.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. Something not so cool, a California woman claims to have been fired from the firm Intermex after uninstalling an app on her smartphone, which her employer was using to track her movements 24/7, including during her off time.
Oh, lovely.
Myrna Arias, if I'm getting her name right, said her boss had asked her to install the app, told her she had to keep her phone on and powered up at all times, and then her boss had bragged to her that he knew how fast she was driving at specific moments ever since she'd installed the app on her phone. She said that when she uninstalled the app, she was scolded. She is now suing Intermex for violating her privacy, wrongful termination, and $500,000.
Okay, explain to me why she needed to have this app.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I would say it's probably not... It's less uncommon these days for employers to want to track what their employees are doing, certainly when they're in the office.
But it's a money transfer company. So did she work for the armored truck? Like, I can't see why any employer would need to have this information. And I hope she sues because...
Oh, she's suing.
Oh, good. Because I'm pretty sure she's going to... They're going to lose this.
Yeah, but I mean, they probably will lose this because they tracked her on her off hours. But honestly, if they had just tracked her when she was at work, they probably would win.
Yes,
I feel like companies like UPS or like FedEx could use something like this, and
that makes sense.
But for a firm like she was working for, and 24/7, this is creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
seems pretty over the top.
That's a no. That's a no.
So, and of course, you know, it's interesting too. My understanding is, you know, she was not given a company phone. They told her, hey, give us your phone, install this app.
You have to have it on your phone.
You have to install it. And you can't power your phone off or accidentally leave it in the drawer at home.
What if she didn't have a smartphone?
I don't know.
Would she just be fired then?
Who knows?
There's a lot of this story. I want to know the rest of this story, and I haven't been able to find much information about it. I need Paul Harvey to get to work on it. But unfortunately, Paul Harvey's dead.
Well, that's awkward.
And that's what you call a segue. Nope, it was not a segue at all. It was the worst ever. But in other Apple news, because whenever something happens in Apple, I'm apparently the only one who talks about it. So I'm here to bring you more things Apple. Apparently, even Apple understands that not every product launch requires you to perform and shove an album down your throat. This week, Apple quietly announced a new 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, which immediately made my 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display obsolete. It has the new Force Touch trackpad.
Okay.
It does not give you the Force. If you're not familiar with it, it's the new buttonless trackpad. It actually is a solid piece of glass, and it detects how hard you're pressing it somehow. I'm pretty sure it's magic.
But, and it vibrates back at you.
Yeah, and it vibrates back to let you know that you clicked it. And I haven't had a chance to play with it. I need to get to the Apple Store and play with it. Mm-hmm. But from everyone I've heard, it feels like you're clicking something, so that's kind of cool. It's going to be weird, though, that there's going to be a button that isn't a button that makes people think it's a button, and I wonder if all of our buttons will go that way.
I don't know, man. It just seems like overkill to me, but maybe.
I can't imagine 101 keys, though, turning into that. But anyway, so it's just like its young or older 12 and 13-inch MacBook cousins. It's got that new Force Touch trackpad. No surprise, of course, it's new, so it has more storage, longer battery life, and better graphics, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But the same old stuff, always. Apple also released a new 27-inch iMac with a Retina 5K display. Wow. And it reduced the starting price to $1,999 for the iMac. So very nice for folks. If you like the desktop and you don't want to pay a boatload on a Mac Pro, then Apple finally has a really good option for you. The best news was probably the smallest news. Apple finally released a Lightning port dock that's compatible with the iPhone 6. So if you like the nice uncluttered look, you know, you can put your iPhone in the dock on your nightstand and not have cables everywhere, and you have the iPhone 6, now you can go back to your functional, minimalistic lifestyle. There you go.
Not bad. Yep. And if you don't have that U2 album, here's the link to it.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, enjoy.
Now I can pay $6.99 for it.
Wait, it's not free anymore?
It's not free anymore. Oh,
apparently no, not.
Man. You had to get it when it was there.
That may be the plus version or whatever that comes with more stuff, too. I don't know.
It came with a lot of stuff.
I don't know. I have no way to do this segue, so I'll just move on.
All right.
There's news from Nintendo this week that Bowser, Mario's mortal enemy and sometimes go-karting buddy, has gone straight and entered the corporate world. Isn't that great?
Wow. Oh, okay. Mm.
Sorry. Ron Bowser.
Okay.
Nintendo of America announced this week that Doug Bowser has been hired as their new vice president of sales. Yeah, it was confusing. I'm sorry.
Is he a cousin or...
Well, actually, in a press release, Nintendo said that Doug Bowser shares no relation to the video game character, who, by the way, his full name is King Bowser Koopa.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know Bowser was the first name.
King, I think, is his first name.
Apparently, yeah. That Doug Bowser, quote, brings decades of experience, not fire breath, to the new role.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Bowser was formerly an executive at Electronic Arts, video game maker. He'll apparently have to relocate for the job and will, of course, bring his children, Larry, Morton Jr., Wendy O., Iggy, Roy, Lemmy, and Ludwig von Koopa with him.
I think you're looking at the wrong bio again.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's King Bowser Koopa. I'm so sorry.
All right. Okay. Serious segue.
Yes, this is a very serious segue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the Washington Post ran a story this week that basically searching Google Maps for the phrase, well, N-word king would bring up the White House as a result. And so specifically that will even zoom the map in automatically. Great.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah. So this glitch...
Convenient
racism, that's right. This glitch appears to be the result of user edits, which can be submitted through Google Map Maker. As a result, Google has suspended Google Map Maker indefinitely.
Oh.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. So remember, kids, algorithms aren't racist, but human beings they model, they definitely are. As of press time, Google had removed the unfortunate map label, which I have checked. Please, Mom, don't check my search history.
Yeah. Okay. I am assuming they're going to bring it back. Google Map Maker is really great. It's a great tool to add things to Google Maps that aren't already there. It's really, other than OpenMap, it's one of the best tools to get that information out there. I've found several things in Jacksonville that were wrong on Google Map, and I fixed them in Google Map Maker. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that's hard to say, Google Map Maker. So I'm really disappointed that their solution was, let's just shut it off.
Well, yeah, they're basically if you kids can't play nice, we're going to take our ball and go home.
Yeah, pretty much.
But apparently this is by far the most publicly damaging and highest visibility, but this is the latest in a series of pranks users have sort of been, I don't know if pranks is the right word, but stunts users have been pulling on the system. So I'm guessing they're going to have to take some time and sort of find ways to user-proof it a little bit.
Yeah, with MapMaker, it's not like you have to have a certain number of people submit this for it to change. It just changes when one person submits
it? I don't know.
But I'm not sure
even
on
if
that. It,
even if you have a certain number of people, I imagine you can get enough racists in the room.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
With
yeah,
the game true. System.
This is just astonishing to me because you would think that they would have a system set up to make sure that things like this didn't happen, like some kind of check.
I will say, I think that the barrier to entry for Google Map Maker was maybe a little too low.
Yeah.
It was like lower than Wikipedia. Because I have seen things that I posted in Google Map Maker that literally changed within minutes on Google Maps.
Wow.
Which is great, but
if it's something legitimate.
They were basically trusting the crowd and it backfired. Yeah. So hopefully they will add in accountability and checks and balances to make sure that this sort of thing doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is something that Wikipedia deals with on a constant daily basis.
Oh, and sure. Absolutely.
They have a huge team of volunteers that keep crap like that out. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Google will learn from them and do the same.
All right. Well, as you may have already heard, Freightliner, who is the manufacturer of semi-truck cabs, is rolling out their first semi-autonomous truck, shiny and futuristic Freightliner Inspiration. So, how autonomous is the Freightliner Inspiration? Well, it's not fully autonomous. It's semi-autonomous.
Yeah.
It still requires a driver. However, the vehicle is able to stay in its own lane, keep a safe braking distance from other vehicles, and slow or stop based on traffic conditions. So basically, if you are on the highway, you can set it, go, and take a nap.
Yeah.
Driver intervention is needed for merging local roads and docking duties, and the vehicle is programmed to transfer control to the driver if there's a situation that it cannot handle. Now, this is interesting. Obviously, this is the first step on the road to fully autonomous trucks.
Sure.
In an article for Medium, writer Scott Stanton predicted that the fully self-driving truck could have an outsized impact on small towns.
Yeah.
Because fully autonomous trucks will have no need for truck stops, which are often a staple of small town economies. You know, trucks without drivers, they don't have a need to stop for the night. They don't need all-night diners or coffee shops or any other of the staples of the interstate support system. I guess they'd still need gas, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, on the plus side, autonomous trucks can't fall asleep behind the wheel, run off the road, and kill people.
That's true.
Yeah. I read that article too. Actually, I would go even further. First off, so everyone knows, I don't think we've ever talked about this on the show. I used to be a truck driver.
Yep.
I drove for Covenant Transport for about a year. I drove a Freightliner. This truck is gorgeous. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's a really cool
truck. It is. I mean, it's gorgeous for people who don't like trucks, and I like trucks. I would die to drive this thing.
But you wouldn't have to.
Freightliner, if you're listening, I will get my CDL back reactivated. I just got to go take a physical, and I still have a CDL. And I would love to test drive this thing. That being said, talking about Scott's story, I would go even further. I think this truck, as it gets out on the road, is going to have an impact because I could not even tell you how much money I spent. Not that I had to stop or I really needed to stop. I just wanted to stop.
Mm.
And if the truck's driving, my legs feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
I can get up and stretch. I don't need to stop.
Sure.
Whereas, I mean, especially I was in my 20s, so I was a younger guy and, antsy or whatever. So I wanted to get out of my seat more often.
You hadn't been weighed down by the cares of life like you have been now.
In my old time. But, I really think that it certainly will have a smaller impact, but I think that this will even have an impact on economies of truck stops and not even truck stops, but other gas stations and restaurants that truckers stop at. And even hotels and motels where, because even trucks that have sleeper cabs, every now and then it's just you want to get out and sleep in a real bed.
Sure.
So I'm torn. I'm super excited about this. But I do know truck drivers who it's their livelihood. And this is going to, it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when it's going to happen. And this is going to take over the trucking industry. I figure at least semi-autonomous trucks will be the norm in the next 5 to 10 years. Because it's the usual turnaround time for most fleets. You know, they go for about 500,000 miles and then they get flipped over. And so you're looking at, 5 to 10 years is when they replace them, and really going to be a big deal. But yeah, the idea of the impact it's going to have on the economy, obviously less legit, but it's the same thing that we've dealt with in the past whenever automation and the Industrial Revolution, took jobs. Yeah, they'll just have to find something else to do. But I know a lot of these guys, they've been driving for, 10, 20, 30 years. They don't have any other skills. They're not going to be able to go do something else. But I think it'll be a slow enough changeover that they'll be retiring driving an autonomous truck, and that's where we'll go.
By the way, I don't know. We were all playing with this earlier. Let me broadcast this. This NPR did a article or has a page up today called "Will Your Job Be Done by a Machine?" which is super encouraging. You can plug in the job you currently have, and it will tell you what the percentage chance that your job will become automated in the near future. So here's the link. There you go. So you'll have fun with that.
I think we're going to be using this
pretty much
this
all the time.
A lot.
Yeah, for
we're just not doing
purposes.
Show notes.
No more show notes. Just
it's going to be a lot of rickrolls.
Yeah. My thing with this is I don't know how long it's going to take me to feel comfortable driving nets to, a semi autonomous
animal. You won't know. Solid as a rock.
I don't know. You won't know.
But, I'll know because...
that truck,
Because you can tell this is
sure.
one that's out there, but...
Because it's got, freaking LEDs along the side.
Yeah, exactly. It'll probably be better for them to gradually roll this out because of that problem. I can't be the only person who's going to be uncomfortable.
The question is, does it have a side-mounted camera so when you do the... honk your horn sign to it will know to honk its horn.
Whoever builds that hack, you're awesome. It's gonna happen.
Or will it, when it spots a buxom blonde driving next to it, automatically honk its horn? Because I think those are both required features.
True. The interesting part is that this version does not dock. It doesn't back up to the dock, which I honestly thought would be the first bit of automation that happened in trucking, because that's what happened with cars. Parallel parking was the first thing they really tackled.
Yeah.
And
I guess this is just a harder problem.
I'm speaking as a truck driver. That's the hardest part of the job.
Yeah, sure.
As far as actually driving the truck is the dock. Docks are all over the place as far as how they work and how you have to get into the position. But I guess so.
It may
parallel parking
so
is
standardized.
Yeah, that could be it. I mean, parallel parking is pretty much always the same, even though humans suck at it. But backing up to a dock, I've seen at least 30 different docks and different ways you have to pull in and get up to them.
That's the thing. Automation is awesome for a task that it's if you do this the exact same way every time, you will succeed. Which humans are actually really bad at those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Because we don't like to do things the same way every time. We don't get that. But on the other hand, things that seem simple, but you have to adapt for changing conditions, computers are awful at. Humans are terrific at.
Well, I think that Apple actually is coming out with a lightning dock for these trucks, right?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Isn't that what that last story?
That's what we were talking about,
Something like that.
So, all right. Well, that is all that we've got for today. If you have a suggestion, or like I said, or if you just want to make a comment, talk about any of the stories that we talked about today, we welcome your feedback. Give us a call and leave us a voicemail. It's 1-888-972-9868. And just to be clear, that's an 888 number, so we're not going to charge you. It's free. Or you can just send us an email to feedback@deemable.com. And don't forget, to help us decide what stories we talk about on the show, go to our subreddit page and submit a story and vote other stories up or down. Deemable.com/reddit will take you there. And subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher and leave a review. It would help us out a whole bunch. Get it done.
Get it done.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.